Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. So this is the last podcast, My Money, My Lifestyle podcast for 2019, Mapalo. I cannot believe it's been a year. We've been doing this for a year now.
My goodness, Maya, a whole year. But you know, it actually doesn't even feel like it's been a year. I know a year is supposed to feel like such a long time, but it really feels like it's been a couple of weeks that we've been doing this. Every week we do this, and I've just absolutely enjoyed myself. But I think also, Maya, I've learned so much doing the podcast.
I know. I think for me, it's just a great opportunity also just for the two of us to get together. And we really enjoy the interactions as well from our readers and listeners who post questions, send them to us. And it does. I think we get some stimulating conversations, which I think from the feedback we're getting. And thanks to all of you for giving us such amazing feedback and the growth, the huge growth that we're seeing in this podcast. So I think a shout out and thanks to all of you who are listening every week, those subscribers.
Absolutely, Maya. And especially to those, I know there's a couple of ladies who always say, a Sunday ritual of mine is listening to your podcast after, you know, in the afternoon when I'm relaxing, just trying to get my mind right for the coming week. So thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure doing it. But we are back next year, Maya.
We are back next year. We're just taking a break because Mapalo and I have worked really, really, really hard this year. So we deserve a little break. And talking about breaks and going away, Mapalo, most companies are closing today, being the 13th. A lot of people are getting their paychecks. And this is a very exciting moment, but it is without a doubt one of the worst things that can actually happen to you, especially if you've got a lot of spending ahead.
Yeah. If you don't plan, it's the worst thing that can happen to you. I think, you know what, Maya, there's an allure about December, you know, that break, that big break. If you're getting your 13th paycheck, it's wonderful. It feels like Christmas came early, right?
Absolutely.
It feels like Christmas came early and you're ready to spend, you're ready to relax, kick off your shoes, have a good time and not worry. But if you don't plan, there is January.
January. And that's it, you know. I think January comes along not because of anything else except a lack of planning. And I think this week we've really focused a lot on articles around planning because for me, people, January's coming. It's not a surprise. It may come as a surprise to you, but it's actually not a surprise. And what the problem, of course, with getting your money on the 13th is that you have more than 40 days before the next paycheck. So what most happens is most people actually spend all their money now on Christmas because their money's in their account, and then they forget that on the 31st of December all these debit orders are going to go off.
Yeah.
And there's no money in the account. Or surprise, surprise, January comes and there's bills in January that have to be paid, like school fees and that. And we see a massive spike in payday loans. In fact, it's the most frequent, the month of the most payday loans taken. Yeah. And so guys, really, if you've got your paycheck early, go straight away, pay whatever bills are owing. We've done all our bills. We've paid the school fees. Mapalo and I were actually just chatting before we went on air about how expensive school fees are. We've paid our school fees. Uniforms have been paid, books have been paid. You know, we make sure that we put a little bit of money aside so that when the debit orders go off at the end of the month, it's there. Because I have to be honest, Mapalo, when I've got money in my account at this time of year, it does get spent. I need it out of my bank account.
So how do you deal with that, Maya? Because I know in the article, that's one of the things that you did speak about, that obviously calculate all the large expenditures, so either your bond or rent or car, those type of stuff. So how do you deal with that practically?
Yeah, so look, I don't go as far as doing this anymore. I'm learning to be a bit more disciplined. So I watch, you know, I know exactly the amount that I need to be leaving in my bank account and I can just check that amount. But if you're worried that it's going to get spent, then you just, you know, most banks now have a little savings pocket attached to the main bank account that you can just quickly transfer in and out. It's instantaneous. So you can quickly transfer that money out. It's sitting there. And then please remember the day before the debit orders go off to put it back. Just quickly put it back. And it was quite funny because I did a segment on this for Money Matters, you know, my ENCA show.
Yes.
And the cameraman said, that's it, I'm starting a savings account for my money for my December pay. He thought this was the best idea he'd ever heard. So hopefully he does do it, but he reckons this is going to save him for January. So I think that's really important. Yes. But the other point that I think, that a debate that comes up often is for those of us, or not us, because I don't get a 13th check. You don't get a 13th check.
I don't get a 13th. Maya, don't you want to give me a 13th check?
Oh, yes. No, right.
Put you on the spot.
Oh, dear. She's probably upset. No, you're not getting a 13th
check. I'm not getting it.
Get over it. But for those people, Humaplo, you are not one of them, I'm afraid. You will be getting a 13th check. One of the questions people always say is, do I use it to pay off my debt or do I invest it? And for many, many years, I used to write a column saying, of course, you should pay off your debt, until I was sitting with someone and he said to me, I think that's bad advice. Wow. And he said, because every year people fall into the same trap. Every year it's totally wealth destroying. You know, you put that wonderful thing out on Twitter, like what's keeping you broke? Or maybe spending all your money on your credit card every year and then waiting for the 13th check to pay it off stops you from wealth accumulation. Because instead of investing that 13th check, you're just continuously paying off last year's, the whole year's spending. And using that 13th check to actually build wealth. So maybe we should be looking at this differently.
I know. That is such an eye-opener. Because exactly to your point, Maya, that every time, people know that the 13th check is coming, isn't it? So in their minds, that habit of saying, you know what, no, I know I have my savior, my 13th check at the end, I'll pay it off eventually. So the habit doesn't change. So we keep on telling people to pay off their debt with their 13th check, but that's actually what's getting them into debt.
Exactly. So I think maybe we must start putting for a different argument. This is the argument I put through in my article. I said, okay, look, everyone's got debt. Okay, if you are about to have your house repossessed, or you're about to have a judgment against you, then you know you've got to settle your debts.
Yeah,
but if you're just simply targeting debt, trying to get a control of your lifestyle, what about saying, okay, I'm just going to take one, my smallest thing, maybe my store card, my Fushimi's card, whatever it is that you operate for people. So the store cards, and I'm going to settle that with a portion of my bonus, and I will then, whatever I was paying, so maybe I was paying 500 rand a month to that, I will add that to another debt during the year, and I will start to pay off my debts that way. So I'll take that 500 rand and I will use that to accelerate debts during the year and actually put together a proper debt repayment plan. Lots of that on my website, and a couple of you have written about it. It's called the snowball effect, so look it up. And then saying, okay, then the rest I'm actually going to use to start looking at wealth creation. You don't have an emergency fund, for heaven's sake, start it. You know, we haven't got that duty by the end of this year.
I think you've said it enough in our podcast throughout the year.
Exactly. Go back to previous podcasts. But if you have got your emergency fund, then start your tax-free savings account. Start investing. Stop making this money that you get every year building wealth and not just settling off your shoes and handbag.
Six months ago. Sure.
So maybe a different take on it. We're going to get lots of people arguing this, but I think it's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. Maya, I don't want us to get all sad, but with the load sheddings and whatnot, you know, a lot of the times when we think about a new year, we think, you know what, I'm going to change my situation. This year's going to be different. You know, this year I'm just going to do things right. Coming Eskom and load shedding and that sort of stuff, and the economy just not doing specifically well. How do people stay motivated?
Oh, this is a good question. So, I mean, it's so interesting, this load shedding experience now, because what I was feeling very much from people was an optimism for 2020. You know, I've been doing talks and things and chatting to people, and there was this bit of a little bit of optimism coming up, thinking, you know, maybe the worst is behind us, maybe things will get on track now, maybe the right decisions are being made by the right people. We've seen a lot happening with state capture. Yeah, there was a little bit of, and then load shedding came. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, it's like when you're on your knees and you get hit again. It's just are like, how much more can we
do? How much more can I go?
How much more can I go? And, you know, one of the things I was, when I was doing an interview at ENC, and they said, what should you be using your bonus for? And I said, well, unfortunately, and we've just spoken about, you know, paying off debt, investing, you know, some of the money's going to have to possibly go into batteries and solar and keeping your lights on. But one of the things that we actually have had quite a few readers saying to us, could you please write about the Moody's downgrade? And so what I thought is, you know, you said, how do you stay optimistic for next year? Because we know, I think with this load shedding, we're going to get a Moody's downgrade. I'd be stunned unless something massive happens, and possibly something massive happens. South Africa can always surprise on the upside. Maybe government will wake up and realize this is a crisis. And maybe independent power producers will be allowed to bring online. And there's a, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, there are things they can do. But if they don't do them, we're going to get downgraded.
Yeah.
So how bad is a downgrade? And I wrote an article about this as well, because it's very important to realize that, guys, if we're thinking about it, the global investors thought about it a year ago. So they've already priced us in completely. So how you know that is that the South African government bonds are sitting at yields of over 9%. That means that right now, if you buy a government bond, you will get a yield of over 9%. Brazil, which is in junk status, Brazil, which is already two notches below us, is only paying 7% on their bonds, okay? So basically, foreign investors are seriously being compensated for the risk of investing in South African bonds already. So they've basically priced in those downgrades. So they said, if I'm going to buy a bond, I want 9% because I know this bond's going junk. And they're already getting that 9%. So that already the market has priced it in.
But what will happen? Not invest in junk status. So what about those funds that cannot absolutely touch junk status bonds?
Absolutely, and that's going to be the shock. Not the shock, but we'll definitely feel that. So what will happen is that when we are downgraded, we have to leave the FTSE World Government Bond Index. We're forced to leave it. And all those massive funds that track that index are going to have to sell South African bonds. They can't sell them now. Even if they know we're going junk, they can't sell them whilst it's still in the index. So only when we're downgraded and are forced out the index will they sell.
Okay.
So we will definitely see a massive selling of government bonds. It will definitely impact the rand, but it will be short term, because as much as they are forced to track the index, there are a lot of global fund managers out there who invest in junk status bonds. Because junk status bonds give you 7-9%, when European bonds, which are investment grade, are giving you sometimes negative returns. We spoke about that in the Marriott. Exactly. So they're going to step in. So it won't be immediate, but they will come in and they will support. So many of the analysts are saying pretty much they don't expect, there will be obviously a movement at the time, but it will most likely recover. So your worst thing you could do is try and take all your money out of the country after the downgrade. Either if you want to invest offshore, start doing it now, or wait till after the shock has gone through the system.
But there's hope. There's hope. That's all that matters, right?
There is hope. And I think, Maplo, you know, you and I both always write about planning, you know, planning and preparing. And I mean, you did an article a lot about really what the kind of things to look at for your, you know, for your finances next year. And for me, it's the same thing. It's saying, right, what can you do? What can you, when you're in an uncertain environment, what can you do to prepare for it? So first of all, we go back to the emergency fund. Have something that gives you a buffer. And the other thing we don't talk about, and maybe we must put this down for next year, is additional income.
Additional income, Mike. It's so important. You know, I actually wrote about that because I was at the book launch that I did the last couple of weeks now. And someone said, you know what, Mapalo, I heard one of your talks, or I think it's a YouTube video that I did, and I kind of forgot about it. And she said, one thing for me that was so profound was she said that I had said, there's two ways, either to increase your income or lower your expenses. Every time you're looking at your financial situation, there you have actually just those two options. You know, how do you increase your income? Because I mean, Maya, if we keep on telling people to cut, there is nothing else to cut.
I just have nothing left. What more do you going to tell me to cut?
The ones I've cut out, the DSTV I've cut out, you know, like the luxuries. What else do you want me to do? And I always say, you know what? We can't keep on crying and saying, okay, you know, things are so bad. What is it that you can do? What skills can you provide or what expertise can you give so that you earn an extra income?
And you know, it's so interesting. We're going to be launching Money Makeover, woohoo, next year again. So, yoohoo, we'll be, and it's going to be all over. We'll be chatting about it on these podcasts. It's going to be on the My Own Money website and your website, Woman in Finance. But basically, this is a competition we've run now for 4 years. I've been running it. And this is our fourth year where we take six people and we turn their lives around. And two of our candidates this year have side businesses. And both of them, one of them is in beauty products and the other's in oils, aromatherapy oils. You know, they're making an extra 10 grand a month from those
things. Imagine.
You know, that 10 grand covers, you, now you've got those luxuries, those extra things, maybe some money for the kids' school fees. And the, one of the women I was actually speaking to, I can't release all the names yet because it's going to be a big reveal next year, but she's got a great job. She's very enjoys her job. She doesn't want to run her beauty business as a full-time thing. It's not a plan for her. She just said, it gives me joy. It gives me happiness and it gives you a bit of extra money.
There you go.
And you know what's so interesting? When I was looking at both of their products was that one of the things you see in a recession is that when people are cutting life, big lifestyle decisions, maybe they're not going on the holidays, maybe they're not buying the same clothes that they were, maybe they're cutting back other areas
and stuff.
Yeah, but they go for small luxuries. So they swap out for small luxuries. So Sorbet, the nail place, is doing really well because maybe I can't go on holiday, but I can have my nails done.
Yes, I can still look good, Maya. Come on. I think we had that conversation. Remember, we were talking about, you know, what are some of those luxuries that perhaps even if things are a bit tight, you just don't want to let go of. And for me, remember, I said my hair. My hair, right? So for me, I literally, Maya, there's other jobs that I do on the side that I know specifically this is just so that I look good. My hair looks amazing all the time.
This is I'm doing this for my hair, right? Yes. But by the same token, if you have something that's a passion, there's somebody out there who may, that may be important to them. So you know, these women are selling into this market that still wants to find something that makes them feel good. So, you know, there's a lot of, just because it's a recession doesn't mean there's no work. Just because there's a recession doesn't mean that there's no ways of making money. You've just got to think a little bit out the box. Do you have a skill that you could deploy? A lot of small businesses can't afford full-time staff, but they can take on freelancers or they may need a bookkeeper on the side. Just, you know, exactly that. Start thinking differently. And I think, Mapulo, you and I just live in that environment because we freelance.
You absolutely have to, Maya. And I think it really, like what you're saying, Maya, it just takes you to think differently. And also, Maya, a bit of confidence in yourself to say, you know what, I'm just going to put my product or service out there.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
On social media, you've got such incredible power with social media now. It's not like having to find a storefront and how do I market myself? You've got digital. So I think really if that's probably the thing that I would say for next year is, you know, try and get yourself a little bit of a buffer if you can, and then start thinking out the box about how to make a little bit of extra money so you don't have to keep cutting and cutting and cutting. So I don't want to be talking about cutting anymore.
Exactly. And also, I think just even outside of the luxuries, perhaps people could use the same thinking, to say, how do I pay off my debt quicker? You know, you've been building up all this debt and you do want to get out of debt. Maybe think to yourself for the first time, you know what, how do I get an extra income so that I pay off this debt much quicker?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's part of it. What you can do as well is you say, right, that income from my side business is actually my debt. I'm going to repay my debt. So there's a lot of things that you can do. And it really is about goal setting. You know, if you set yourself a goal, I promise you, if you set yourself a goal and you believe in your goal, you'll achieve it. And you know, one of the things, Mapulo, I really want to encourage our listeners, in fact, I think I'm going to make it my mantra for 2020, is to focus on the positive. Because this year, we've let ourselves become very angry for good reason.
I know. And I mean, if you entertain negativity, entertain all the bad stuff that's going on, you can't think clearly. I really believe so. You can't think clearly. So I think, that should be our mantra, positivity. But also, Maya, I think we should do a podcast with someone who I don't know, maybe talk about different side hustles, side businesses that you can start that doesn't cost a lot of money. Maybe it should be one of our podcasts for the new year.
I think so. And in fact, what I would love all of you listening today is to let us know what you want to be hearing next year so we can put together a few kind of bespoke podcasts and bring in a few things. I mean, the other thing is, you know, it was very interesting. I had quite an interesting chat to a guy from Absa ETF. So they're bringing out some new ETFs. And he said to me, like, he just said, Maya, flip this market. It's tough. Where do you think people should be putting their money? And I said, you know what? We don't talk enough about our alternative assets. I mean, you and I do, but probably not enough people. And I really believe that there's a lot of opportunity in things like food security, infrastructure, investments. And maybe we should be talking a lot more about that next year. Things like cattle, farming, solar panels, moving away from traditional investments, because people are always going to need food. People are going to need more infrastructure like solar panels, water.
And the different issues that are coming up as well, Maya.
Exactly.
I won't talk about it right now because I know it'll throw you off, but, you know, we'll have a chat.
So really what this podcast has turned into is our planning podcast for next year. So, and on the note of alternative investing, you know, we covered a little bit about crypto this year because we got so many requests. So we've been dealing with it. Very well listened to podcasts. It seems like everybody wants to know about crypto. But 2 weeks ago, as part of our education series, we held a Facebook Live Q&A with Sean Sanders and Louis Bass from Revex Invest. And we had a really, really interesting discussion around the rise in Bitcoin and crypto scams, Mapalo, because that's been a big one. And also about how to find a trusted platform. So to end this podcast, we're sharing a clip from that interview. And you can listen or watch the full interview on the Maya on Money Facebook page. So when people say to me, is it safe to invest in? Well, what do you mean by safe? So does Revex exist? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sitting in their offices. So I know where to come when you take my money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. If you take my money, I know where to come. but the safety question about the volatility of this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as an example, it's down 20%, but actually year on year, I think it started off at 52,000 Rand a year ago. I had a look, 52,000 Rand is now sitting at 111,000 Rand. Mm. So over a year, it's made a lot of money. But in between that, you have these massive rise and falls. And of course, November last year, it crashed 50%.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I think that's a very important part that people only know. People seem to only be interested when they've heard it's going up, and then they seem to not know that it goes down.
Yeah.
Or they do find out quite soon.
Yeah. I think it's people who watch it, like people who trade. They hear it goes up, they hear it goes down. But like you mentioned now, year to date, if you actually go look at the stats over the last 5 years, the last 4 years, the last 3 years, not the last 2 years with the bubble, ICO bubble, and the last 1 year, it's the best performing asset class out there. There is better than property, better than any type of bond, better than any stock, better than any index tracker of stock. And it has been performing relatively well. So,
well, I suppose if you look at risk and return, that's what we always talk about, risk and return. Yeah. You're taking massive risks. This is a new thing. It's a new technology. Yeah. And in fact, one of the banking guys said to me, if you want to understand crypto, speak to IT people, not financial people. That's, you know, so he said that because, and I was saying, we were actually in discussion, and how do you know if what you're getting involved in is legitimate? He says, well, you can look at the code. Well, I don't know what the hell I was looking at last time, look at the code. So he's saying the IT people understand this, and this is where a lot of this has been driven from. But it does become, I think for me, where this whole kind of, is this a scam, is this safe, is coming from, and guys, there's a lot of scams out there. And I want to read your question. I actually got this in Messenger. I don't know if Fence is on now, because I did ask her to please post the question live, because she actually sent it on my Messenger yesterday. And I want to read this question because this is very common. This is one of the more common questions I get. She said, I've been introduced to Bitcoin and Forex trading by a friend. Yeah, I just have to tell you, if you're going to invest, the word Bitcoin and Forex trading in the same sentence makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Through a company called Luno, which is a legitimate platform. It's one of the big platforms. It's Singapore-based, but it's got its offices here in Cape Town.
So that's Singapore,
which is pretty big. And Novice Trading, haven't heard of them. Are these companies real? And if trading in this fashion is effective and beneficial, I have started trading, started with 1,900 Rand, and I will be apparently earning 7 Bitcoins
every Sunday, which I can exchange for cash. This is a scam. And I don't even need to ask these guys because they're going to confirm this for me. Mm-hmm. But I want to explain to you why. First of all, this I have seen a growth, massive growth. We saw it before Bitcoin, before cryptocurrencies and Forex trading. Everybody was offering people mm-hmm. Forex trading. I'm a Forex trader. Give me money. I'll make money for you. They throw in a word like Luno, and you'll go and Google Luno, and you'll see that it's a legitimate platform. But then there's this novice trading. So I suspect what's happening is they're investing through novice trading, who then say that they're using the Luno platform to trade. 1,900 Rand you've started with. Mm-hmm. How much are 7 Bitcoins that you're going to get every Sunday worth right now?
850,000.
850,000 Rand. So if you think that you're going to put in 1,900 Rand and get 900,000 Rand every Sunday.
A week.
Mm-hmm. Every Sunday. We're all quitting. Yeah. We're all putting our money in here because I could probably put together 2,000 Rand. And if I can get that.
Did this call to say that we're all quitting.
We're all quitting. Yeah. We're going to go and put our money with novice trading. So this to me is clearly the kinds of things we're seeing. And I get people coming to me saying, no, but I've given this guy money. And he's giving me an 8% return every single week. And maybe we need to explain that it's impossible to guarantee a return, and it's impossible to smooth returns like that. We've just spoken about the amounts and how quickly it smooths. Maybe you want to talk that point.
Well, to your point that it is 100% a scam. Anything that promises any return is usually, if it's not from a bank, I guess, but in any case. So that, I mean, we see quite a lot of that, and actually we've been quite hurt by Carrot Bars, I think it was, that came out, it was declared a scam. And I mean, a lot of people were asking us if they could buy Carrot Bars through our platform, and crypto is just in that industry where people feel like it's as uncertain.
Take a little bit of time to explain about Carrot Bars, because there was some mining.
Yeah, it was, I think it was gold, hey?
Yeah, so it was gold-backed
cryptocurrency, yeah.
But it was a multi-level marketing kind of play.
Yeah.
You needed to invite three friends, and you invite three friends, and then really
the and you put in, yeah, you put in like 2,000 Rand, and then you can't withdraw it unless you put like, I mean, there's always these like really fishy like levels and tiers that you need to get to, and like mad invite kind of things. I mean, those are clearly scams, and we really actually suffer in the crypto industry even trying to make it more legitimate, you know? Yeah. So what we try to do is we try to take something strange like crypto and make it more normal with a platform that people can understand. And every time something like Carrot Bars happens or FNB drops crypto, we actually see a massive pullback just on people coming on and interest on conversion rates. And we have all of like the stats on our analytics to show that. So we're not quite sure how it's going to actually work out with regards to a lot of these scams that naturally keep coming up and often use crypto because people understand that crypto could give you great returns. They almost use it as camouflage.
Okay.
So crypto in certain cases has given that kind of return. So people can use it almost like you mentioned now with Luna and with novice trading.
Novice trading.
So you just really have to watch out there, and I think do your homework.
So do your homework. So how do you, today do your homework, but kind of what would you do? What would you say to someone who said, right, how do I start? I am interested. I want to put some money in Bitcoin.
Mm.
And see how it works.
Mm.
How do you know who you're dealing with? I mean, there are a couple of platforms now. So you guys are you're an exchange more, but you put together bundles.
Yeah,
you're a broker. But how does one know this? I mean, what would you advise people?
I would say you start by looking for a registered address. So if you see Seychelles, British Virgin Islands, one of these other very interesting spots, generally speaking, stay away. That's my first recommendation.
If there's a registered address.
If there's a registered address.
Step one. There's no address. Like,
reach out to the customer support and start a conversation. If there is another human on the other side of that line, try to gauge whether or not there is somebody that is credible on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for registration documents and ask for a lot of information. I think that's a really good step forward. And then once you're feeling quite comfortable, maybe go and look for the registered company wherever it's located. So you can actually go and take a look at, let's say, Revex. We're located in South Africa, we're located in the United Kingdom. Take a look at our registered address and take a look at our company number and just see that this is a real entity. Who are the directors of this entity? Are they credible people? I think once you've done that, generally speaking, you're more or less okay to go.
Yeah, and then you could also ask Maya.
That's my, yeah.
Isn't that the point of this whole?
Yeah, you know, the world is, of course. So you can pretty much, and I think to me that it's so obvious. It usually is very obvious.
Mm.
It's the minute returns are getting guaranteed. Mm. The returns sound completely and utterly artificial.
Yeah.
And if especially I find, you know, you get a lot, Forex is big.
Mm.
Forex is big for scams. And a lot of those fake sites promote instant wealth. And I don't think we've ever done that. We've had a couple of podcasts together. We've ever said this is instant wealth. We're saying this is a very, very interesting asset class. We, you know, that it's got potential. These are the reasons.
Mm.
You put some money in, you may only see the benefits in 10, 20 years' time. You don't know. But it's one of those things that it isn't new. It is something that, that people don't, you know, should probably be taking, being aware of. But it's certainly not something that's going to, you know, shoot the lights out just because it has before.
Yeah. I mean, if you see guaranteed returns that are greater than 15%, even 12%.
Well, isn't that the definition? There is no actual way to, I think, legally determine what is a Ponzi scheme. Other than, like, I think in law it says anything with a guaranteed return of greater than 30%. That's, like, the guideline.
The guideline.
If you guarantee more than
30%,
you just, like, it's just
so
not possible.
So Ponzi scheme, so I suppose it is, I mean, by the end of it, is it starts to get funded by new people, but you don't, it's not always that obvious. So your pyramid schemes, which is your multi-level marketing kind of environment, you kind of can see it up front, bring friends in. A Ponzi is often where someone pretends that there's an investment. And you, it's not, it's not as obvious. Yeah, pyramid and Ponzi are two different things.
Interesting.
Well, thank you, listeners. That brings us to the end of this podcast and to the end of this year.
Wow, Maya. 2019, done and dusted.
Done and dusted. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.